Good morning, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. So for today's conversation, we will be turning our focus back to fixed income, and we will discuss what investors need to consider in order to achieve higher yield. We will also touch on an outlook for rates, how to be allocated within the asset class, and more. So joining me here on the line for the conversation this morning, I do have with me Leslie Falconio. Leslie, as you know, is the Senior Fixed Income Strategist for the Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So, Leslie, good morning to you. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on Top of the Morning today.
Thank you, Dan.
Leslie, before we get started, I do want to point out up front for our listeners that our conversation this morning will revolve around the latest edition of the monthly Fixed Income Strategist publication. I know you run lead on that piece. The title for the month of August is Reflating Risk Assets. But, Leslie, I know within the piece you talk about how Treasury yields, they've been experiencing historic lows. So to set some foundation for our conversation, can you explain the factors at play that have driven this movement within yields?
Sure. I mean, you know, one of the things that we saw, particularly in July, was that, you know, the market, the 10-year Treasury yield had gone to that 50 basis points, which on a closing basis is the 10-year Treasury yield lows. Now, on an intraday basis, with all that volatility that we saw in March, and those two exogenous shocks, whether it be, you know, the shelter in place from COVID and also the commodity price war, the intraday Treasury yield and 10-year each actually hit the low 30 basis points, like 31 basis points. So obviously we've seen, you know, since that time, you know, a bit of recovery, obviously, in the economy as things gradually begin to open up and yields move back, you know, up a little bit. But then recently we started to see sort of that, you know, euphoria of sudden increased demand fade a little bit. And we saw this in part of the employment numbers, you know, prior to that in terms of the claims data. Now, one of the things that we've seen, particularly in terms of with keeping a cap on interest rates, as we're all aware of, is the, you know, tremendous amount of stimulus that we've seen, particularly from monetary policy, which has, you know, which is purchasing, you know, about $80 billion a month in treasuries. So since that July time when we got back down to that 50 basis points in treasury yields, we've gone back into the range and we saw what the employment report was. It was actually fairly strong. We had CPI today, which was also fairly strong. So we have a lot of, you know, this push me, pull me of, yes, we're in this recovery, but we also have the Fed buying treasuries. We have to see what happens with the new fiscal package. And let's not forget, we also have the election coming in November.
So, Leslie, just given yields where they are today, and thank you for walking us through how we got to where we are, but how has this all been translating to performance within the fixed income asset class? And on a going forward basis, just looking ahead a bit, what factors do you think will drive total return within fixed income?
Well, I mean, one of the things, when we talk about fixed income performance, everyone goes back to March, right? Because we had such a large shock, such a widening in spreads, such a large underperformance of credit assets, whether it was investment-grade corporates due to commercial paper or high yield because of decline in oil. And, you know, even mortgage credit also sort of took this big hit. So everyone sort of looks back and says, oh, look, we've recovered since March in spreads. Well, if you look at the whole year in terms of total return and you look at the driver of those total returns, most of the driver has been from the large decline in interest rates that we've seen, particularly in things like the 10-year that we just discussed. So although we've had this nice, you know, correction or nice sort of retracement since this March wide in a lot of asset classes like high yield and preferred and investment grade corporates, the main driver of their outperformance so far has been just the decline in interest rates, which is just obviously elevated prices. And to your second point, when we look, you know, going forward, what could be the driver of total returns? You know, listen, we're sort of in this state of, we're sort of kept in this very myopic state in the sense that we don't believe that spreads will compress meaningfully, materially further, okay? But we don't think interest rates are going to skyrocket either. So you're not going to really, you know, you're not going to have this huge jump in treasury yields that we saw back in 2012 when the yields were at the level they are today because you have the Fed. And we also don't believe that spreads will meaningfully tighten because you have had such, I just talked about, the retracement. So most of your return is really going to be just the, what we call the carry or the incremental yield that you earn from these asset classes particularly versus U.S. Treasuries.
Leslie, I know in prior conversations you've been very consistent with cautioning investors from chasing yield, so to speak, though in order to achieve higher yield, what should fixed income investors be thinking about right now?
You know, I get that we get to the question constantly, and you know, honestly, understandably so. Everyone is sort of feels the same frustration as a fixed income, you know, somebody who's in the fixed income sector, somebody who looks at a Fed that is probably on hold for, you know, several years ahead with such, you know, low interest rates in the short end of the yield curve, you know, whether it's 15 basis points in 2 years. And even though it's on the longer end of the yield curve, you sort of ask yourself, am I getting incrementally paid for, you know, taking with this low yield? So in order to earn, you know, incremental income, first of all, you have to have a sense of reality, okay? You can't expect to earn, you know, 7-8% yield without taking incremental risks, right? It's impossible. So we really don't want to encourage investors to take a lot of risk on in terms of credit today because of the fact they have done very well because the technical backstop of the Fed is priced into the marketplace. So we still, in a sense, like that barbell strategy where, you know, that short credit, like the high yield, the floating rate senior loans, and on the longer side where that you take that interest rate risk is through the TIPS market. And as we saw like today, like CPI is very beneficial for, you know, the break-even inflation rate is higher, and we do think TIPS will outperform nominals. So you really need to do a combination of keep your credit and your yield in the short end and keep your interest rate risk a little bit longer, but only in TIPS and not nominals.
Now, just being mindful of the fact that the Fed will remain accommodative for the foreseeable future, as you pointed out to us earlier in the conversation, Leslie, can you spend a few moments just walking us through your outlook for rates? Just looking at the 10-year yield this morning, it's at around a 0.69, 0.7.
Yeah, and I think this is something, because it's part of it, too, a nervousness that a lot of our clients have, and rightfully so, right? When you hit a low in yield, right, and you have all the stimulus coming, whether it's fiscal or monetary, and you see this recovery, your biggest risk is, oh, my God, our interest rate's going to skyrocket, right? And, you know, specifically given how sort of compressed spreads are. Our view is, you know, it's really difficult to forecast exactly what interest rate's going to do because there's so much sort of, there's a lot in that data. There's a lot in GDP. There's a lot of these sort of variables. The data's not clean, right, because we're going through this COVID. But one thing we can say is our expectation is that interest rates are going to rise higher, anywhere between 80 to 95 basis points in 10-year yields. We don't expect there to be a big spike by any imagination, but it is something that, you know, we don't believe that if, in fact, we see a low in 10-year treasury yield again for what, you know, say if a package doesn't go through or there's volatility to the election, that it's something that is sustained. So, again, we expect a recovery and a gradual rise in interest rate.
So, Leslie, as we close out, in terms of overall allocation within fixed income, can you walk us through your preferences at this time?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's things that are full, okay? Most spread product is full. You know, a lot of our allocations are neutral, you know, even though there are things like that could be very good carry, like preferreds, or even in the structured product market in terms of mortgage-backed securities, they're neutral, but these are good yielding assets. In terms of our preference has been on the corporate credit side, both in investment-grade corporates, high yield, and senior loans. And those have been sort of our preferred allocations. But when we look going forward, you know, what you're really compensated in terms of potential defaults, if in fact our expectations are lower than what's actually printed. And again, we do think that defaults can come in the high single digits. But you've had this sort of compression and spread that just makes sure that we have this diversification in the sense that, again, we keep our credit exposure in the short end. Our corporates are going to be the 1 to 5 year. And we recognize that they're not, in terms of relative value, something that's screamingly cheap, but we still look financials. They're supported by the Fed. The yield that you're earning is much better than what you're getting in the short end, and it's investment grade and it's liquid. In terms of the credit side, we do like the floating rate senior loans as sort of that potential hedge, quote unquote, if rates do rise more than what we're expecting. And on the high yield side, we still have that preferred allocation because we do think oil stays or continues to recover. Spreads have done are compressed, but we do think that although the asset class is full, you could get a bit of carry there, but just understand that, you know, the more compressed that asset class becomes, the less compensated you are for potential defaults. And of course, our last allocation, as we just discussed, on the interest rate side is for the Treasury Inflation Protection Securities. That the break-even inflation has gotten too low, our expectations and inflation expectations move higher, that allocation has done tremendously well. We think it continues to do well. It just might not be at the same type of velocity. So it's going to do well at a slower pace going forward.
Okay, well, Leslie, always great catching up with you, and thank you again for joining us on the Top of the Morning podcast today to update our listeners and our clients on what's been driving performance within fixed income as of late, the factors that might drive total return in fixed income looking down the pike a bit, and speaking to your current allocation preferences within the asset class. So appreciate the time and insight as always, Leslie, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks so much, Sam.
Thank you, Leslie. And again, today we have been joined by Leslie Falconio, Senior Fixed Income Strategist for the Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Before we close out, I do want to highlight again, as always, many publications and blogs available for you now up on UBS Online Services. And that does include the publication that Leslie has been referencing for you this morning, that again being the August edition of the monthly Fixed Income Strategist publication. And again, the title for the month of August is Reflating Risk Assets. If you are a client of UBS, simply reach out to your financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the publication directly, though, as I mentioned, the publication can now be located up on UBS Online Services. Top of the Morning will be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.